to zero for more than 60 years now. It wasn't all bad being a demon. You didn't have to buy petrol, for one thing. The only time Crowley had bought petrol was once in 1967, to get the free James Bond bullet-hole-in-the-windscreen transfers, which he rather fancied at the time. On the back seat, the thing in the basket began to cry, the air-raid siren wail of the newly born, high, wordless, and old. It was quite a nice hospital, thought Mr. Young. It would have been quiet, too, if it wasn't for the nuns. He quite liked nuns. Not that he was a, you know, left footer or anything like that. No, when it came to avoiding going to church, the church he stolidly avoided going to was St. Cecil and All Angels, no-nonsense C of E, and he wouldn't have dreamed of avoiding going to any other. All the others had the wrong smell, floor polish for the low, somewhat suspicious incense for the high. Deep in the leather armchair of his soul, Mr. Young knew that God got embarrassed at that sort of thing. But he liked seeing nuns around, in the same way that he liked seeing the Salvation Army. It made you feel that it was all right, that people somewhere were keeping the world on its axis. This was his first experience of the chattering order of St. Beryl, however. St. Beryl Articulatus of Krakow, reputed to have been martyred in the middle of the 5th century. According to legend, Beryl was a young woman who was betrothed against her will to a pagan, Prince Casimir. On their wedding night, she prayed to the Lord to intercede, vaguely expecting a miraculous beard to appear, and had in fact already laid in a small ivory-handled razor, suitable for ladies, against this very eventuality. Instead, the Lord granted Beryl the miraculous ability to chatter continually about whatever was on her mind, however inconsequential, without pause for breath or food. According to one version of the legend, Beryl was strangled by Prince Casimir 3 weeks after the wedding, with their marriage still unconsummated. She died a virgin and a martyr, chattering to the end. According to another version of the legend, Casimir bought himself a set of earplugs, and she died in bed with him at the age of 62. The Chattering Order of St. Beryl is under a vow to emulate St. Beryl at all times, except on Tuesday afternoons for half an hour, when the nuns are permitted to shut up, and, if they wish, to play table tennis. Deirdre had run across them while being involved in one of her causes, possibly the one involving lots of unpleasant South Americans fighting other unpleasant South Americans, and the priests egging them on instead of getting on with their proper priestly concerns like organising the church cleaning rota. The point was, nuns should be quiet. They were the right shape for it, like those pointy things you got in those chambers, Mr. Young was vaguely aware your hi-fi got tested in. They shouldn't be, well, chattering all the time. He filled his pipe with tobacco. Well, they called it tobacco. It wasn't what he thought of as tobacco. It wasn't the tobacco you used to get, and wondered reflectively what would happen if you asked a nun where the gents was. Probably the Pope sent you a sharp note or something. He shifted his position awkwardly and glanced at his watch. One thing, though. At least the nuns had put their foot down about him being present at the birth. Deirdre had been all for it. She'd been reading things again. One kid already, and suddenly she's declaring that this confinement was going to be the most joyous and sharing experience two human beings could have. That's what came of letting her order her own newspapers. Mr. Young distrusted papers whose inner pages had names like Lifestyle or Options. Well, he hadn't got anything against joyous sharing experiences. Joyous sharing experiences were fine by him. The world probably needed more joyous sharing experiences. But he had made it abundantly clear that this was one joyous sharing experience Deirdre could have by herself. And the nuns had agreed. They saw no reason for the father to be involved in the proceedings. When you thought about it, Mr. Young mused, they probably saw no reason why the father should be involved anywhere. He finished thumbing the so-called tobacco into the pipe and glared at the little sign on the wall of the waiting room that said, for his own comfort, he would not smoke. For his own comfort, he decided, he'd go and stand in the porch. If there was a discreet shrubbery for his own comfort out there, so much the better. He wandered down the empty corridors and found a doorway that led out onto a rain-swept courtyard full of righteous dustbins. He shivered and cupped his hands to light his pipe. It happened to them at a certain age, wives. 25 blameless years, then suddenly they were going off and doing these robotic exercises in pink socks with the feet cut out, and they started blaming you for never having had to work for a living. It was hormones or something,